Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, when we get to the busy times of year and times we need to talk about stuff, I got to get the main expert out. That is Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. You got to check out his newsletter. I'm telling you, it's the best long-term look at markets you'll ever find. Joe Meyer, what's up, my friend? Happy holidays.
Happy holiday to you, Todd. Good afternoon. Thank you and the Bubba Show for having me today. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience, my friend. Thank you, Todd.
Well, it's always good to have you on because, again, you know, you're a war veteran like I am. I mean, you know, between the two of us, we've probably got close to 100 years in this market.
And, yes, we do.
And the markets are crazy, and I know that we've never seen this before, but we've seen it before just under different ways. But, you know, Joe, why don't you take us through what you're kind of seeing here and what you think about this whole structure, what's happening?
Well, I think we're living in an extraordinary time. Having said that, I think it's historic, and these markets are certainly reflective of that. But as you know, having been a long-term veteran of the market, I always like to have a plan in which we can deal with the unexpectedness that this market can hand you at any time. I think at some point we know we're going to get a correction. The question's not if, the question is when and from what level. I think now is the time to put a plan in place to deal with that eventuality before it happens. What do you think, Todd?
Well, no, I agree 100%. I mean, you know, I think you should always have a plan. And one of the key things is, you know, the beauty of the stock market, Joe, is you can compound your money by being in the markets on a consistent basis and understanding how to exit when the time should come. And I think one of the biggest problems, and I think this is something that, you know, when markets go straight up, everybody thinks that we're infallible. And of course, they go back to the same theory that, well, this time is a different market. Even the pundits on TV are saying that this is a different market. And as you and I both know, nothing ever changes in the markets. It's just, what is the reason going to be for the reason when it does sell off? You know, I've looked for a sell off for quite a bit here now, and of course it hasn't come, but of course you're going to see it. The markets, we know one thing, Joe, they don't announce themselves or what their intentions are.
So, no, they don't.
And you're seeing some pretty goofy things. Even right now, we're seeing some crazy stuff like in some of the oil stocks. I mean, those stocks are moving. They haven't moved that way since the internet bubble, the way they're moving right now. And I quite understand it, but again, it's something to look at. What do you think?
Well, I think we're seeing, again, history being made in these markets, and we're certainly witnessing what's going on in certain sectors of the market, something we haven't seen in quite some time. You know, I said 16 months ago, we go to 25,000 in the Dow and 2,700 in the S&P. Although I did believe going back then that we'd see a halfway decent correction in price before we proceeded to those levels, I certainly was fooled that the market went up literally in a straight line, but I still think we're at a point now where caution is warranted, and I think profit should be nailed down and taken out of the market.
And I always agree with that. Again, you know, the difference between you and me is I hedge and I stay in the market, so always. By hedging, and I don't have to get out, but certainly some profit should be realized here. I mean, you've had some unbelievable moves. And what's your take, Joe, on the tax plan and the effect it may or should have already had on the markets?
Well, number one, I didn't think, quite honestly, and I know you'll agree, that it would get passed in 2017, but I'm glad that it did. You know, I'm of the opinion, and it's one man's humble opinion, that the benefits of the tax plan at this point are already priced in the market. I don't know if you agree with that, Todd. But
100%.
Looking at where we go from here, I'm not convinced that the tax reform plan is going to give the kind of benefits most people have been led to believe. What do you think?
I don't think it's a very good tax plan. Unfortunately, I think that it does help big corporate America, which is fine.
Yes.
But it does not take into consideration small business. And
no.
I think that's a problem. But I think the problem we have in Washington is the swamp problem. And I think that, you know, Donald Trump was so hungry for a victory that he's settling for less than he wanted. But he's got to settle to get the victory down, and he did, and it is. But I don't think that the key cog in my mind in any economy is the middle class and small business, because they pay the most, they do the most for the economy, and they spend the most. But we didn't get that, so that would be one of my concerns.
Well, you know, my other concern, quite frankly, is this market is priced in an awful lot of good news. And I think, having said that, this market is not prepared to certainly price in any bad news at these price levels. And I think we could get a black swan at any time for any reason, could start this market down. I think the surprise is going to be, and I've said it in the shows we've done together, not only how quickly this market goes down, but how far it falls, Todd. I think that's a surprise most investors are not prepared for.
You know, and it's funny, Joe, because, you know, I keep telling everybody, you know, that, look, I can't tell you when. I don't like the market, and I have not been a buyer of the indexes. You know, individual stocks, you buy or sell anytime. I don't look at the overall general market when I'm doing that. But for the general markets, I have not been buying it every week. I say, well, I'm neutral. I say, if you got to play, you can only buy right now because they're still trying to trend higher. But at the end of the day, the markets are on wait and hold for an event to occur. So it gives them the green light to sell. And this is very similar. And the unfortunate case in 2001 was, of course, the unfortunate terrorist attack, the worst attack in American history. But the markets were in a similar position, dying for a reason to go lower, but they couldn't find one. What do you think?
Well, I think this market's dying for a reason to go lower. But let me clarify, this is a momentum liquidity-driven rally. You can't stand in front of it. But we may be close to a very important turning point, and a lot closer than we'd want to believe, looking at what this market has done and done over some period of time.
And what do you think the turning point is?
Well, we could get something coming out of Europe on sovereign debt. We could get something coming out of North Korea. Certainly, I think the Middle East with Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Yemen. You know, we've got a lot of flashpoints around the world that could certainly cause this market to sell off, and sell off very heavily at any time, that's for sure.
I mean, of course it could, and the few attempts we've had at a sell-off have failed miserably. They've immediately rallied right back, and you know, that's one of the things we have to look at as investors or as traders. I mean, I do both. So, you know, it's something that always shows up in the market, and again, we know the market's going to announce themselves, but I would think, Joe, that we'll see when it does sell off, there'll be a big sell-off, but what will happen is the corresponding rally will fail, and that will indicate that the trend may start to change. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's one scenario. The other scenario I'm looking for is a blow-off top in the averages, and which would lead to a key reversal day, as you know, up sharply in the morning but close down on the close of the day. I think that could signal a reversal of trend in the onset of a very vicious bear market. I really do, Todd.
Now, we had a key reversal in all four indices about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. That did not come to fruition. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not surprised that it didn't, because I think, again, you know, we had an awful lot of good news people were hanging their hat on and looking for even more positive news to come out if and when the Tax Reform Act was passed. But I think when you look at how much this market has gone up over the period of time in which it has done so, honestly, I've never seen a rally of this magnitude, as unrelentless as this has been, certainly in many, many years, that's for sure.
And we are visiting with my friend, Joe Meyer, the author and founder and creator of Straight Money Analysis, a great newsletter that he puts out quarterly that gives you all the stuff you need to know for the long term of the market. I urge you to check out straightmoneyanalysis.com. My friend Joe Meyer, and this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Remember, libertytalk.fm, you can download the show every day. And of course, we're trying to get to 1 million downloads a month, so we're counting on you to be one of those that help us download it. And don't forget that Bubba's Daily Update, which comes out every day right after the close, I do a quick video, and you can get that free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. We're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be right back with more from Joe Meyer, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we'll be right back. Welcome Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. That's StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Check out his newsletter. He does a quarterly great piece. It takes him all quarter to get it done because it's like reading a book and gives you all the details of the market. So Joe, you know, we've got a crazy market. But here's one of my problems. I want to get your thoughts here. Because of the Federal Reserve, because of what they have done, because of everything else, we have been basically pigeonholed, and there's only one investment class that we can put our money into to try to get any return out of, and that is obviously the equity markets. And I think that creates a bigger problem down the road. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a bigger problem when this mania ends. You know, we've created bubbles going back in the tech sector. We created them in real estate. We've now created them in the equity markets. And as you know, and I'm sure you'll agree, they've all ended badly. So looking at what has taken place and looking at where we go from here, you know, I've got a question with interest rates going up, how much further they can go up before they truly have an effect on this equity market and the psychology of these low interest rates being around forever, Todd. I really question that.
Well, and I think it's really a sad state of affairs that if the economy, Joe, is as good as they say it is, okay, I don't think
which
it is.
Which I don't believe.
Neither do I. But if everything is as hot and jobs are so good, which I don't think they're that good either, if everything's that good, then why in the world are interest rates going higher? They should be going up naturally because, as you once said to me on these airways, you said asset classes ought to price themselves. So
yes, they do.
But unfortunately, right now, they're not pricing themselves. They're being priced by a couple of people in an ivory tower or in a glass tower, and we're not getting the true matter of price discovery and letting markets handle themselves. What's the problem with that?
Well, I think, as we've often said, markets do one thing very efficiently. They reprice asset classes. We are going to see a repricing of asset classes once again when we talk about the equity and, more importantly, the bond market. Not a question of if, it's a question of when, and more importantly, it's a question from what level. But I think when we talk in the scope of the bigger picture of these central banks of the world continuing to intervene in these markets, I think we're witnessing an ending rather than a continuation, Todd. That's my humble opinion.
No, and I agree with you. And I think one of the things that's showing me that we're in, you know, I've always said I felt there would be another revolution in this country. Okay, I think that there's just too many things that are wrong. Listen, we're in the greatest country in America. I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying it's not a great country, but there are some issues. And of course, I think the Fed is one of the issues, and there's a lot of things going on. But I think you're now seeing this cryptocurrency world really kind of explode. And I think, obviously, I believe Bitcoin is in a bubble itself. But on the other hand, I believe that cryptocurrencies are here to stay. And I think that this is the first start of a little bit of a financial revolution against the central banking systems of the world. What do you say?
Well, I think when you talk about monetary intervention that we've had in these markets, as you know, for quite some time, you know, if you go back and you look at the Monetary Control Act of 1980, which was a piece of legislation, as you know, that's still on the books today, it basically says that the government can intervene in any market at any time for any reason, and they've certainly done that. But I think when you talk about the ability to intervene in these markets and move them significantly as they have in the past, I think those days are now long behind us, Todd. I truly believe it.
So, you know, are you an anti-cryptocurrency guy? Do you believe in them? Do you believe they have a purpose or a place in this world? What's your thoughts
on
that?
Well, I believe Bitcoin has a place, certainly when you talk to transactional type situations, but you know, I've said repeatedly in the newsletter, I don't believe Bitcoin will ever take the place of gold and silver as a storage of value and a hedge against inflation.
But I do think
cryptocurrencies have a place, and certainly a very meaningful one in the financial community, yes.
Now, I've written a number of times that one of the reasons gold and silver have struggled recently is because a lot of that money, right or wrong, is going into cryptocurrencies as a place of stored value, even though it's not really holding a physical asset. What do you think of that?
Well, I think money's come out of gold and silver. It's found a home in the equity market, and it's found a home in Bitcoin. And I think those areas have done far better than we would have been led to believe. And I think it's a disappointment to see gold and silver certainly trading at the levels they are in lieu of the vast financial problems we have in the world. Yes, I agree with you.
And what are you forecasting? You know, I know you're much longer term than I am. I mean, me, a long-term capital gain is about 5 minutes. What is your forecast for, like, gold and silver in the next, let's say, the next year and then the next 5 years?
Well, first of all, in the next 5 years, I think we're going significantly higher. I think the bull market in the metals is alive and well. I think if you look at the first leg of the commodity bull, when we talk about gold, as you know, we went from $255 to $1,930 an ounce, was a multiple of 7.6 times. I think if you take a look, Todd, at the recent low that we made in 2015, $1,045 an ounce, which I think is going to be the springboard for the next major long-term advance we're going to see in gold. You take 1045, you multiply it by 7.6 times, you get 7942. I think going forward, 1 ounce of gold will buy the Dow for the third time. As you know, it did in 1932, 1980, and I think at some point, an ounce of gold will cross the Dow Jones Industrial Average price. I really believe it.
All right. Well, no, listen, I have no reason to doubt that. I mean, again, that's a big swing.
$100 an ounce.
That's a big swing from here, right? I mean, you know, we're at 1,200 and at 25,000. Now, of course, I think you and I both recognize and both believe that we're going to see 25,000 probably before this correction is going to start. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, technically over the years, and I know you've seen this as well, round numbers are not that easy to go through. So we'll probably see some backing and filling and bounce off 25,000 before we get a close above it. But whether we close above it or not, I think in the scope of the big picture, people should be hedging the portfolio, protecting their profits, and certainly preserving the capital at all costs. People need your trading course now more than ever, Todd.
You know,
I've never seen a time in the market where I think risk is this great.
I agree with you, and of course we all believe that. And of course, this is one of the times, Joe, when people get very spoiled. You know, they look at their phone, their portfolio is up, their 401k is growing, and they always believe. And I think the news cycle has a lot to do with this. They believe that this time is different. And that it doesn't matter anymore, and that the things that we know are important, like debt and other things, don't make it a big deal anymore. And I think that's where we all tend to make that same mistake over and over again. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the biggest mistake people make is traders are unable to pull the trigger and nail down a profit. That should be the easiest part of the transaction. Toughest part is entering the buy order and hoping you're buying in at a realistic and decent long-term valuation. But selling the nail down a profit should be the easiest part of what we do. But for some people, it's the most difficult. We can never figure that out.
Well, you know, it's greed. Greed always gets in the way. You know that. You've been doing this long enough. And the greedy, you know, what do they say? Bulls get a little bit, the bears get a little bit, and the pigs get slaughtered. And that never changes. And that's the one thing I think that people don't understand about markets, Joe, is that the markets never change. The reasons may change. But at the end, what does it come down to? Every collapse has come down to debt. And this one's not going to be different when you look at between student and auto loan debt. It's twice the size of the debt that we had from the housing bubble.
Yes, it is.
So these issues continue to be to plague the street and plague the markets. But right now, nobody cares, including the advisors and including the brokers and including the pundits. I mean,
I think, honestly, we're seeing more recklessness in this market than I've ever seen in my 50-year career. I think, honestly, Todd, you got people taking risk in this equity market. They don't even have the ability to understand. You know, they're in these markets for one reason, and they're in them to make money, and they have done that. But, you know, there's a time for caution. There's a time to take money off the table, raise some cash, get to the sidelines. This may be exactly the time in which to begin to do that. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I would think, but I don't, you know, again, I think that what's going to end up with, you know, I'm on Varney a lot, and he talks about Bitcoin, how there's going to be a lot of tears when that's all over. Well, I believe that in the equity market, there's going to be more tears because there's more people involved. And unfortunately, we forced a lot of the retirees and fixed incomers into a market that they really don't want to be into with money they really don't have to live the rest of their lives. But we're with Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. You got to check out his newsletter. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest works of art that the man must spend 1,000 hours putting it together. StraightManAnalysis.com. And of course, don't forget to go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day. And last but not least, my high school investing program. You know, I do pay for it myself and have done so for 6 years. And if you'd like to help out, go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. We'll be right back with more from Joe Meyer, StraightManAnalysis.com, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com, an ancient veteran of the street, along with me. Between the two of us, we probably got close to 100 years in the markets, and you got to check out StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. It's a quarterly newsletter that is just really outstanding, and you will not get this information anywhere else of someone who gives you a total macro view of what's going on. So, Joe, macro view on oil. Now, I'm going to give you my side before you tell me what's going on.
Go ahead.
Well, I say that, first of all, I think oil is overpriced at wherever it's at, because we have in this country today, without affecting the environment, we have over a 200-year supply in oil in the United States of America. We are net exporters now of oil. So, and that's without doing anything. And if we're going to continue to get fuel efficiency, it's going to be that 200-year supply could go to a 300-year supply. And I would think at some point in time that big oil, like big tobacco did back in the day, you know, when they made them stop advertising all the other stuff, they gave them time to create new products, new business arms, so they could make money elsewhere. And I think that's what should happen in the oil business. But right now, I think big oil still controls it, which is why these prices are still ridiculously high, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, when people were talking about $20, $25 a barrel oil, I thought they were crazy. You know, I caught the bottom in oil right around $36 a barrel. And I said I thought we had the potential to go to $55 or $60. Well, we're above that, and I'm raising my target now that I think we got the possibility to go to $75 or even $80. Reason I believe that is I think we're going to see the Saudis cut production even further as we get into 2018. And quite honestly, I've never seen the Middle East, in my humble opinion, through my career, as unstable as it currently is. I think at some point we're going to have problems coming out of the Middle East. Again, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And we may see oil supplies vastly disrupted coming out of that region for quite some time, Todd. I think the markets are anticipating that to some degree. And as I'm sure you'll certainly agree with me, this oil energy sector is not ready to go down from these levels, not yet.
I actually think it is going down. I'm way on the other side of that trade as you. I think we're going back to 40 and probably fairly quickly. I think that if you look at the OPEC manipulation, it's been going on for about 16 months now, and they've only been able to push it up about 8% or 10%. To me, that just tells me that there's no chance, and they're going a lot lower. That's what I believe. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not saying I'm right, but I don't see where the demand is going to come to create that. And I think that at these prices, the shale producers are going to pump, are going to start putting it out again. I don't see it. I'm a 40 guy from here, Joe. Again, it doesn't make me right, but that's my view. Is it's way overpriced now, and I'm short, and I'm staying short, and I don't care where it goes. In fact, the formation itself of the backwardation and contango, I mean, oil is cheaper in May than it is today. So you tell me what that looks like, and I think that just indicates to me we're going lower. So that's my view of it. What do you think?
Well, you could be right. We're going to find out shortly, that's for sure.
Okay. Because, you know, it's again, if the market's going to break as well, which you believe, then oil is going to break with it. I mean, that would be, you know, the perfect natural trade right now. Now, when we look at other things that are going on, what are some of the things on the outside of the equity market that have your concerns?
Well, I'm concerned about housing at these levels. I still think it's vastly overpriced, and I think at some point we're going to see significant weakness there. You know, I question the ability of the consumer to continue to certainly spend in this economic environment, as I know you'll agree we've been in now for quite some time. I'm also somewhat concerned with the Christmas holiday season sales with the major retailers. Honestly, I don't think they're going to be anywhere near as good as people are expecting, Todd. I really don't.
Well, I think the sales might be okay, but certainly the profits aren't going to be okay. I think the profits are going to be weak. I think that we're going to see, you know, but of course, I guess that only goes as if the profits were not as good as stated before. Maybe they're just paying such cheap prices for goods that the profits will be there, even though it seems like that we're paying cheap. Now, again, speaking of cheap, we've got the commodity space, the grains are like back in the prices of the 90s.
Yes.
Except for soybeans. What is going on there, and what do you foresee from that market?
Well, I think when we talk about the commodity market, we certainly have strength and we certainly have weakness very pronounced in given areas of the commodity sector. I think there's a lot going on beneath the surface economically throughout the world that we're not even aware of, Todd. I truly do.
Like, can you give me a couple of examples of what you think what they may be?
Well, I think when you take a look at the buildup of debt we've had, certainly on a worldwide basis, and you take a look at the ability of these central banks, even if they wanted to be more accommodative, I have to question where we're going to go certainly in the next 6 months to a year. You know, I question whether or not the European Union will hold together. I seem to believe they're going to have more problems as we get into 2018. And I think when we look at what's going on with China, India, and Russia, it's certainly a wild card now that these markets are anticipating being a problem of some sort.
So, those are some global issues. What about North Korea? Does that bother you at all? It hasn't seemed to bother the market at all.
It bothers me very much because I think the long-term solution to that is going to be certainly something none of us would want to believe we'd ever see in our lifetime. I just don't see a peaceful resolution of that crisis. I don't see any way we can negotiate certainly what needs to be done to resolve it. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the only way it's going to be resolved is either China's got to step up and take them out, which they don't want to do, or we're going to have to do it. And of course, if we do it, it's going to be a much bigger problem after that. But I think that the only solution for an animal like that is to take him out, because he doesn't care about it. He doesn't care about anything. He's no different than a guy from ISIS. They don't care if they live or die.
I don't think China has anywhere near the influence they once did over North Korea. I really don't.
All right. Well, that's possible. So, Joe, I know you've got five rules that you like to follow, and I think we can split these over the next two because I don't know how long it'll take, but why don't you give us your five rules of trading?
All right, number one, not trading from emotion or becoming emotional during the trade and not doing what needs to be done when warranted. That's rule number one, Todd.
Okay, and how do you control that? I mean, that's obviously human emotion. You know, I always use the example with somebody, you know, have you ever said something to somebody, usually a wife or a husband or spouse, boyfriend, girl, whatever, that you wished the minute you said it, you could take it back?
We've all done that.
You know, so, all right, so what's rule number two?
Over concentration of capital in any one position, all for the wrong reasons and not the right one. Simply stated, putting all your eggs in one basket, big mistake.
Now, would you say today that people are all in one basket, especially a lot of the high tech? Because we've seen that I think about 5% of the stocks are responsible for about 50% of the stock market rally.
Absolutely. Some people are very over-concentrated in given areas of the market. They always are, Todd.
And rule number three.
Failure to use close stops and keeping losses small. Remember, one trade does not define your career in the markets.
Now, you know, that's one of the things I always find interesting, Joe, is everybody always wants to, you know, they miss a trade and they get crazy. And I go, it's only one trade. I mean, if that's your only, if that's your only trade, your the good trade of your life, then you got a problem anyway. So it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
And rule number four.
Failing to establish upside or downside price objectives prior to executing the trade and not sticking with the original game plan without a good reason for doing so. Trading many open positions all at the same time. That's number four.
So in your mind, how many open positions should somebody have at one time?
Two or three.
Even in a long-term retirement account?
Absolutely. I like to control my capital. I like to control my risk. And I think limiting to two or three positions allows me to do that.
Okay. And number five. Let me get the drum roll. Dun, 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 dun. Go ahead. Number five.
Money management, just as important as trading. One cannot succeed without the other. Failing to close one open position before opening a new position. Failing to take profits when the market dictates you do so. That's number five.
Joe Meyer, you're always a pleasure to have as a part of the show, and you bring always some great information to us, and the rules are outstanding. And as always, happy holidays, and I thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you, Todd, and happy holidays to you and your listeners all over the world. Always a pleasure to visit with you, Todd. Thank you so much for having me, my friend.
And that's our friend Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Check out his newsletter. I'm telling you, you will be amazed at the amount of information he covers on a quarterly basis. And, of course, he does a nice job as a 50-year veteran of the street. So certainly check out our friend Joe Meyer stuff. And, of course, you know, him and I don't agree on everything, but that's just part of the package that we look for. And, you know, that's what we always say, makes a market. And I think that's something that, you know, we can continue to look at and say, hey, you know, markets are markets, and that's what makes the markets. And I think that's something that's very important when you're looking at markets, because we have to always understand that to make a market, there are always two sides. And in this case, you know, we are on opposite sides of certain things. And, you know, that is fine. That's exactly what, you know, I always try to teach everybody that, you know, we don't always have to be on the same side of the market. And that is exactly why we decide on how to, you know, go about the different ways of trading and investing, because that's where we find out, you know, how to best accomplish what we're trying to do. And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, on the Friday before Christmas. And of course, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year and happy Hanukkah. And in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's the Friday before Christmas, so you're going to get... Are you going to get coal in your stocking? Are you going to get something good? Certainly, if you own Bitcoin right now, it looks like we're getting some coal here. You know, but again, I don't think that's any real big deal one way or the other. I think that at the end of the day, you know, the markets were due for a sell-off anyway. So I don't own any. But I'm not concerned about it. I mean, I think that this was a natural part of a sell-off that we should expect. I mean, the markets have been unbelievably on fire, and there'll probably be some panic selling, you know, like the trading places, G.I. Joe with the funk kung fu grip. We got to sell, get them out. But I'm sure there'll be some panic selling in here. You know, obviously it's an extremely volatile product, so you'll be subject to these swings. You know, again, I'm a believer. I don't own any, but I am now a believer in the crypto world, and I think you're going to see that these markets, you know, and it may not be the Bitcoin, but I think they're going to be here to stay. That's the bottom line. Okay, so you know, and again, you learn to trade everything the same way. I mean, everything trades off of a market footprint Everything trades off of a purpose, and everything trades off of a price discovery model. Now, the interesting thing about Bitcoin, obviously, is it just trades in big lumps, both up and down, because it's a true free market. And there's nobody manipulating it. And there's nobody controlling it. So we'll see. You know, again, I'm not, I don't get too excited on the Friday before Christmas, especially when a market's been up 9 gazillion percent. I don't get too excited about the equity markets either. I mean, quite frankly, there's no action. So why would we even consider it? I mean, you know, today after, you know, you could see by the action after 11 o'clock, there was nobody there anyways. I mean, it's been, the action has been dissipating all week. So why would I expect it to change? You know, again, the only thing that's going to drive these markets in the next 5 days or so will be some sort of black swan event. I mean, we saw the same action every day this past week. Strong early, weak late. No, they went up. So it wasn't that they didn't go up, but it was just the overall action was really interesting, but expected. And I think that, you know, also, you know, you look at the metals, you know, I've written all week for Kitco saying that the metals are should probably sell off a little bit, and they've gone up almost every day. So what do I know? But no, actually, I do know. I think that this is more of a dead cat bounce. And, you know, typically markets will go a little farther than you think, but I'd be much more likely to see a sell-off. And I'd also, more importantly, I'm not a buyer in the current pattern. I want it to sell off to become a buyer again. So that would, I think, would be healthier and lead to a stronger move to the upside when it does come. Okay. So that is something that, you know, I think you have to remember. And, you know, you look at markets. That's how you kind of read and interpret the market action. Again, this is things that, you know, again, we look at all the time. And this is not the time to be excited, nor is it the time to be in despair going into a holiday. You know, basically next week will be dead. There'll be virtually no action. You know, again, unless there is a reason for bad news. Good news will continue to just kind of dribble the market higher. And there appears to be a lot of good news out there. It's hard to find any bad news. And of course, depending on how you want to interpret it. But, you know, you've got a lot of things that are just part of the world and part of business. And I don't see any reason to be overly exuberant or in despair based on the market action. So, you know, it's basically, we're basically into 2018 now, even though the calendar hasn't turned yet. We're still here watching and waiting. And, you know, there is a major sell-off coming, but so is Christmas. Now, the one thing we know about Christmas is it'll be on December 25th. The sell-off, we don't know. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a date. So we have to just continue to trade the footprint and understand that the market is still very bullish. And if you tie the bullish market right now into just the normal everyday, every deal of markets, I mean, they do go up year over year. So we're not trying to do anything else. But understand that, you know, right now, why would you want to try to get in the way of this and stop the market when you're not going to be successful doing so? And it becomes just a deal of waiting for the right opportunities. And we're going to get it. It'll come. But, you know, like a watch pot never boils. And, of course, you know, you've got just some things out there that are a little bit curious. But, you know, again, this is the time to enjoy the weekend. This is the time to enjoy your families, your friends. You know, it's Christmas time. There's just, again, typically, there is not a lot of distressing news. Now, like I say, there could always be some sort of a black swan event. Certainly, the idiots from the terrorist camps and the idiots from other areas that, you know, don't care about the holiday could happen. But you certainly can't trade looking for an event that's going to drive the market to the downside, it still comes back down to the overall market footprint. And, you know, as you watch these things trade, you just have to make sure that you're keeping yourself, you know, nimble. All right. I mean, again, we're not trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel here. You got to just watch it. And, you know, again, you heard earlier that, you know, Joe and I have opposite views on oil. Now, again, you know, everybody can make their case, and that's what makes a two-sided market. But, you know, this time of year, as I repeat, not to be redundant, but I always am, is that there's just not a whole bunch of stuff that you should be creating any major risk for yourself, because the reward is not there. All right. Now, remember, there's times to take a lot of risk and there's times to take little risk. And this is the time to take as little risk as possible, because the seasonality of the markets, the lack of volume in the markets, volatility at all-time lows. Because as you know, what we talk about here on the Bubba Show is that volatility is the great forgiver. When there is none, markets don't move as much as they should. So you don't ever get the extension, either the upside or the downside. If you go back and look at this rally, this recent rally that's gone up, I mean, it has been a grind up, and there's been no spots where we have seen some great push. So that's what you want to watch. And until that comes back, it's going to be sit back, relax, and enjoy the movie, because that's what you're going to get here. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to take a minute to, first of all, thank all of you for another great year on the Bubba Show, although we have another week, but another great year. And wish you all a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a happy, healthy, and prosperous New Year. You know, it's always great to share information and bring things to you. I hope that it's been educational as well as entertaining. You know, and it's something that we really enjoy doing. You know, I do it every day so that I can help bring you messages and help you become a better trader, investor, or whatever it is you're trying to strive for. And of course, just a reminder of our high school investing program, highschoolinvesting.com. You know, we want to educate our youth. And of course, we have 300 high schools now, and we're trying to get to more. But my funding is running out, and I'm looking for help. And if you want to go to patreon.com/Bubba Trading, what we're going to do going into the new year is going to give access to all those people who donate. They will get access to the high school investing website to learn about some of the basics about options and what the kids are learning, but you get to learn as well. In the meantime, don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. In the meantime, Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy, healthy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Thank you so much. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be here on Monday, but we'll see you back here on Tuesday as well. Merry Christmas. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.